The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by the Rogue Grange in the heart of downtown Nasika Beach.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
It's me, sweetheart. Have you heard of pulling a rabbit out of a hat?
Yes.
Well, I pulled one out of a pickle.
What happened, Sam?
Well, what happened, she asks. Well, goodbye.
Oh, don't go, Sam. Don't you feel like talking about it?
Frankly, no. But it's expected of me. Eh, sharpen a carrot, buy me some rabbit pun.
What?
And get the hutch ready. I'm about to hippity-hop through the door with the lowdown of the flopsy, mopsy, and cottontail caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, Hard-Boiled Private Eye, and Michael Hall, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and fine drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with The Adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by Somnambulist Acres. You've heard the expression sleepy bedroom community? Well, if that appeals to you, imagine living in a special gated housing development designed with your weary mind in mind. Enjoy Somnambulist Acres, where every room is a bedroom and pajamas are the fashion of choice. This planned colony has all the features that a world-weary person like you has been looking for. Take a slow ride out to Somnambulist Acres and visit one of our models today. See the special narcolepsy padded dining suites. Revel in the soft-as-a-big-tongue living room. Swim in the recreation center's pool of warm goo. Don't do anything strenuous as you glide around the village in overstuffed recliner chairs on a network of slowly moving conveyor belts. Homes start at only $9,999.99, and we offer many creative financing plans, including loan defaulting and paying by counterfeit. For more information, hit the snooze alarm and call us later. And now, with Chip Winert starring as Spade, the Rogue Grange brings to you the heir, the greatest private detective of them all, in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Effie!
Here I am, Sam.
What's the meaning of this?
Of what?
My desk and my chair shoved over to one side of the office.
To make room for the other desk and the bookcase.
There'll be no other desk, no bookcase, and no anything else.
But Sam, I thought you were...
Don't say it. Don't even think about that man. You understand?
Oh.
Ah, it's deliciously silent in here. Don't you think, Eff?
Sam, weren't you and he supposed to go...
Stop that! Effie, would you like to have your mouth dry cleaned?
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I spoke harshly. Forgive me. But the past hours have taken their toll on my nerves. Perhaps I should unburden myself. We'd all feel better.
All right, sir. Unburden yourself?
I'm still in command here.
Oh.
2. Mrs. Wellington Van Cleve Montague, Knob Hill. Where else? City. From Samuel Spade. License number 13576. What else? Subject. The Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail Caper, or How Fritz Crockett Saved the Day. My dear, dear Mrs. Montague. It all began Thursday afternoon when I entered my office and discovered a tall, wild young man sitting in my chair with his feet up on my desk and sampling my office bottle. The pose was so familiar, for a minute I thought it was me.
Hello, Sam. I'll be with you in a minute. Have a seat.
Oh, thanks. I will. The one you're sitting on. You see, the detective sits in that seat, and the client sits over there.
Qualifies me for this seat, then. I'm a detective.
I see. Well, the detective we like in this office is Sam Spade, see? He pays the rents, he hires the secretary, he earns the money, and he sits behind his desk. Now on your feet.
Okay. But with two detectives around here and only one detective chair, it's going to get a little crowded.
Mind if I have a drink? Out of my glass?
Ah, sure, sure. You know, we better make a note to get another glass, too. And get some scotch. I don't care much for that bourbon.
No self-respecting detective drinks scotch.
Oh, and put this down. We need another desk and a new paint job on these walls.
Oh?
Yeah, something bright. Robin's Egg Blue, maybe. Sue's a nervous client. And a bookshelf. You got that, Effie, dear? Or am I going too fast?
I think I got it. All done, Fritz. Desk, paint, bookshelf, scotch.
Et tu, Effie?
She's a doll.
Wait a minute. That's my line.
You know, after I work with you a while, Sam, you'll appreciate me.
So long.
I'm great.
Bye.
You need me.
Why?
Because we'd be an unbeatable team. With my talent and your luck, we couldn't miss.
Luck?
You ever hear of Fritz Crockett?
Chicago Fritz Crockett?
Yeah.
Nope, never heard of him.
Oh, Sam.
Look, you're making your mark in your hometown. Now, why do you want to work for me in San Francisco?
Well, I lost my license in Chicago. Got caught on the hot side of a political battle. Worked for the losers, and the winners framed me for my license.
Aw, gee, tough, kid.
I can't get a license in any state until I clear that mess up. And so I have to work under somebody else's.
Yeah, but why me?
Because I've kept my eye on you, Sam. I like the way you're developing. I think you could work well with me.
Gee, well, thanks. Okay, well, your application's been received. Give me a couple years to think it over.
What's the matter, Sam? Afraid I might touch your reputation in town?
Oh, you found me out. But anyway, bye.
Chicken, huh? Look, you want to compare scrapbooks sometime? A really good detective's got to be an actor. I play any style. Listen, we're following a Russian countess to recover Gorky's original manuscript to the lower depths. I meet her in the lobby of the St. Mark, disguised as an itinerant caviar salesman. Countess Natasha Mishkov? Oh, isn't it noisy in San Francisco? How long has it been? 8 years? 12 years? Have you forgotten little Andre?
Andre. Sorry. No casting today.
But look, you gotta be an actor, Sam. Look, you're gonna have more of a blow to the gun-running career of Don Jose Ortega Sanchez, the notorious bandit.
So what?
Don Jose, you have bought your last gun and sold them to incite a revolution inside the once peace-loving border countries.
Yeah.
I am powerless to prevent your execution. Die like the proudest Spaniard that you are. A cigarette?
Fritz, for heaven's sake, I
help you, Sam. Look, you've been captured by a mutinous crew of an English tramp steamer, and I burst through the door. Hey, get your bloody hands off that man.
This one I can do myself. FMO, Tigger. I don't know exactly why I sat there listening to the guy, but I did. He was sort of a one-man theater guild. We ran through 28 dialects, played a scene in which James Mason and Montgomery Cliff were trapped by an Armenian rug merchant and were saved by the voice of Gabriel Heater on the radio. Then he played all four of the Marx brothers arguing with the Andrews sisters. Then, after the intermission, he told me a little bit about himself, regaling me with spine-tingling accounts of his Frank Merriweather-type achievements on the football field and professional boxing and hockey. It was pretty thrilling stuff, but nonetheless, I was just about to usher him out when he came up with a particularly good bit of dialogue.
I have a job for us.
Yeah, well, so... Oh, job? Where?
Yesterday, Sam, I met an old friend from Chicago. She remembered me from an important cocktail party. Saved it for her, the party. Everyone was absolutely bleary until I became de rigueur with a brace of a few amusing anecdotes.
The job, Fritz, the job.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, she wants us to guard a valuable hunk of jewelry at a party tonight on Knob Hill.
What's the money?
$100 apiece, plus mingling with notch dancers and all the caviar we can eat.
Well, then. Well, it's better than I expected. In fact,
Now, here's what I want you to do.
Oh, wait a minute. What's with this, here's what I want you to do? This is the Sam Spade Detective Agency, named so because Sam Spade is the man who gives the orders around here. Now, what do you want me to do?
Well, this is a costume party, and we have to wear costumes. It's in the deal.
Good. I'll break your leg, and you can go as the man who came to dinner.
Sam, I already have the costumes.
What?
Right here.
Crockett, what would you have done if I didn't go with you?
Oh, the thought never entered my head, Sam.
What are the costumes?
Sam, 100 clams apiece is a lot of dough.
Agreed.
You are about to confront the reason we are being paid so much.
What is that?
That's your costume. You're to go as a rabbit. A white rabbit. Here's the suit. Oh, and here's the head. Notice the shocking pink ears.
No, the deal's off. It's been swell, but the...
Now, wait a minute. I am also going as a rabbit. So you will go as Flopsy, and I will go as Mopsy.
I will not go anywhere dressed in that ridiculous outfit.
$100, Sam.
I will... well...
Sam, let's talk this over. Now, look, I will talk to you as a businessman might talk to you. Now, Mr. Spade, you take your ordinary type detective, and you've got a pretty spotty sort of...
We talked and talked, and around 8 o'clock that night, I found myself still talking and walking up the steps of your Knob Hill mansion, Mrs. Montague. I was cleverly disguised as Flopsy the Rabbit, paw in paw with Mopsy Crockett. My headpiece covered everything but my eyes, nose, and mouth, and I was grateful for that. When I passed the doorman, I was tempted to say, "Hey, what's up, Doc?" But Fritz said it ahead of me. He walked in as if this was his own personal hutch, and you, Mrs. Montague, cruised right over to us.
Well, my little bunny twins, aren't you both so darling?
Yeah.
Which one of you is Mr. Spade?
Well, I'm Mr. Crockett, Mrs. Montague, Mopsy. You remember me from being at that soiree with Ronnie and Benita. Or maybe it was Gypsy introduced us, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so glad you were able to be here, Mr. Spade. I've always wanted to meet you.
Thank you, Mrs. Montague. I guess I'm the straight man.
How do you like my costume?
Well...
There's not another one like it in town.
Yeah?
I'm the only wood nymph in San Francisco.
The trees will swoon. They will.
Oh, you.
Mrs. Montague, perhaps you'd be disposed to outline our job?
Well, of course, Mr. Crockett. Myself, Mrs. Arlington Clifford McGill, and the famous Spanish artist Julio Noriego are going to pick the woman with the most fascinating costume.
Search no farther. It could be no one but you.
Flatterer, I'm not eligible.
Oh.
Then at 10 o'clock, we'll have the grand parade. The winner will lead the parade wearing a small, jewel-studded crown. Oh, darling. Thousands of emeralds and all sorts of things. Well, this crown once belonged to Josephine of France. Imagine.
Mrs. Montague, I hate to be an old killjoy, but are we here to guard the crown?
That's right, Flopsy. I think this is best.
How is that?
Oh, of course, I don't expect any trouble, but it is so valuable, I can't take any chances. My husband picked it up in Iran. He's in pickles, you know.
Well, you know best.
Where's the crown now, Mrs. Montague?
Oh, in the vault, safe in the master bedroom on the second floor. Here's the combination to the safe written down on...
I'd rather not have the combination, if you don't mind, until it's time to get the crown.
Oh, why don't you be silly, Mr. Spade? Next to the crown, there's only $50,000 or $60,000 in the safe.
Oh, well, if that's all.
And the safe is behind the Degas original. Now, until I need you, just go and enjoy yourselves.
Well, we're going.
Maybe I'll even let you dance with little me.
Fritz and I synchronized our watches and decided that until we were needed, we would lose ourselves in the crowd and keep our big rabbit ears open. Everybody was masked and loaded, and it was all very tame. I brushed elbows with pirates, Northwest Mounted Police, unmounted, a gorilla, an Arabian princess, four Pocahontases, and assorted but historic characters ranging from Julius Caesar to Mike Romanoff. And I was dipping a carrot into the punch bowl when a girl made her way over to me. I knew it was a girl immediately. You could tell. I tagged her as a burlesque queen, but she didn't talk much like one.
Are you a he-bunny or a she-bunny?
I'm a he-bunny.
Would you like to dance with me?
I'd be delighted.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm not supposed to tell until the masks come off. For now, you can just call me Flopsy.
Flopsy? How cute. You Americans have the cutest ideas.
Yeah, speaking of ideas, what do you represent?
I am a Folies Bergère dancer. Do you like me?
Well, from where I stand, it'd be next to impossible to dislike you.
Oh, that is possible.
And the lady was a beaut. Tell me, have you been in this country long?
A few weeks. My family has sent me on a tour of America.
I see.
I am here as a guest of Monsieur Montague. Now, tell me, you are a detective, are you not?
As much as I regretted doing it, I hastily detached myself from Miss Folies Bergère of 1949. How she knew I was a detective puzzled me. I saw Crockett talking with a paunchy red devil and a middle-aged Christopher Columbus and stopped by. They were big businessmen, obviously, and so was he.
Well, now you take your ordinary paper freak today. Someone you meet in a place like a...
It would have been impossible to interrupt him, so I moved on. Finally, I sat down to rest in a quiet corner of the library, and I no sooner did than a large green pickle, with two bandy legs sticking out of it, sat down beside me.
Want to buy a pickle?
No thanks.
Go ahead, it's free.
I only eat carrots. Thank you just the same.
I suppose you know who I am.
As a matter of fact, I don't know.
Well, I shouldn't tell you, but I'm lonesome for someone to talk to.
Well, I...
My wife's dancing with another man. Sometimes I think she only likes me for my money.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, I have millions, you know. Just millions. I'm Horace Montague, the Pickle King. I've sold more pickles than any living man.
Congratulations.
You like my costume?
Never smelled anything like it.
Yeah, when I came to this town, it was as an ordinary new pickle. Sometimes I come as a dill, sometimes I come as a gherkin.
How jolly.
Well, once I came as a sweet and sour mixture.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I got very confused.
Well, that's up to you.
I guess all I really have is my money. You kind of tired of being so rich. It was fun in the early days, but I was a pioneer, you know?
Started, I suppose, with just a wart.
Yeah, that's funny, very funny.
Yeah, well, keep laughing, Horace. I have to be running along.
Yeah, well, thanks for talking to me.
I was beginning to feel like an extra in Alice in Wonderland. I headed back for the solace of the punch bowl. I saw Mopsy Crockett standing with the Folies Bergère dancer and went over to him. But he suddenly turned and hopped away faster than I could hop after him. Why the coyness, I couldn't understand. When I finally caught up with him 10 minutes later, he was waltzing with Anne of Austria, who was hanging on his every word. And that was a lot of hanging.
Oh, mein darling, until you have tasted meine liebe Kuchen, you have the stories of Goethe and Schiller and Heimler all mashed in one goulash.
Do you mind if I cut in?
If you must.
I mean with the other rabbit. Come along, Mopsy.
Well, of all the cheek.
Excuse me, darling. I will come back later. Oh, Sam, what do you hear from the mob?
What's the idea of avoiding me?
Oh, avoiding you? I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do. Crockett, don't you remember just 10 minutes ago, my chasing you all over the floor?
Ah, so help me, I don't.
Oh, there you are, my little bunnies.
Yeah, here we are, Mrs. Montague.
All right, you can give me the crown now. I'm almost ready to announce the winner of the costumes.
Well, we haven't taken it out yet, Mrs. Montague.
You haven't? You just said you were going to get it.
I didn't. Did you, Fritz?
Not I, Flopsy.
Now, bunnies, stop playing jokes.
One of you came up to me a couple of minutes ago and said you lost the combination to the safe. So I gave it to you again. You said you were going to get the crown. Now where is it?
I don't know, but let's find it. When we arrived in the master bedroom, the worst had happened. The Degas original was gone off the wall, the safe was open, and believe it or not, the $50,000 or $60,000 habitually kept in it wasn't even touched. But you, Mrs. Montague, weren't worried about the cash.
Oh, it's not here. The Josephine crown is gone. Oh, this is frightful. What will Horace say?
We're sorry, Mrs. Montague.
Sorry? You were supposed to guard it. It's your fault. Maybe you stole it yourselves.
Mrs. Montague, we did nothing of the kind.
I distinctly remember you saying you were going to get it, and I did give you the combination again, and I know you did it. Oh, Horace, what's happened, Hubby dear?
Well, I was walking down the hall when a rabbit came running out and dragged me into a room. Made me take off my pickle.
Oh.
He hit me on the head with something, then he took off his bunny suit, jumped into my pickle and ran off. My head!
Crockett and I dashed down the hall to the room that the Pickle King had abdicated. On the floor was the limp, unfilled costume of a rabbit. The Montague's party not only had a flopsy and a mopsy, but it also had a thieving cottontail.
The Rogue Grange is presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Now available for the first time in your area, food. Yes, food. It's been used since ancient times to alleviate the discomfort of hunger. Food comes in many flavors and textures. There's some for every appetite. Food is socially acceptable in one form or another by almost every known major religion, as well as a few lesser-known minor ones. Food goes great with that other popular item, drink. And remember, food spelled backwards is doof. If you don't see it at your local grocery, then ask for it by name. That's food, now available in a non-prescription dosage, for internal use only. For further information, stay tuned to this frequency. Tonight's program is also brought to you by Finish Line Office Services, down by the Gold Beach International Airport and the Senior Center. Jason says, if you need a service that you don't see, just ask. And Fresh Hair Family Hair Care, across from Ace Hardware in the heart of downtown Gold Beach. Marna says, you can always call, email, or text for an appointment. And Indian Creek Cafe, on the bank of Indian Creek up Jerry's Flat Road. I still can't figure out why they call that a flat road. Where breakfast is served all day. And Murray Insurance Services, on Ellensburg Avenue across from the County Hoosgow in the heart of downtown Gold Beach. Becky says, one call does it all. And Made to Sparkle House Cleaning Services. Lori, the remarkable sparkle maid at Made to Sparkle, with her very artful metacarpals, will make your home or business sparkle. And Curry County Community Radio, KCIW, on the web and soon-to-be airwaves, providing a platform for the exchange of artistic expression and differing points of view. We'll be back after this break. And now back to the Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
I left Fritz Crockett and you, Mrs. M, attending to Horace in your master bedroom, and bounded down the stairs, through the guests, and out the front door. I was standing there wondering where to pick up the track of a rabbit-turned pickle when I saw the Folies Bergère dancer come running out of the Montague mansion through a side entrance and enter a taxi. I jumped into another cab and followed her, divesting myself of my flopsy costume en route. She went to the west end of O'Farrell Street and entered a shabby gray apartment house. I followed. I knocked on every door until I found hers.
Yes?
Hey, it's me, the he-bunny, Flopsy, remember?
Why did you follow me here?
Voila, because you're so beautiful. Can I come in?
No.
Thanks.
I said no. Did you not hear me?
But have no fear. I'm bonded. How did you know that there was a detective's heart, beating under my rabbit suit?
I am not going to answer. You have no right to come in here.
Come on. How?
I think I overheard someone say it. Now, if that is all you wanted to know, please go.
Why did you leave the party early?
Because it bored me. I thought America was not a police state. Why am I being questioned?
Because somebody stole the Josephine crown that belonged to Mrs. Montague.
I am glad it is stolen. I am delighted. But I did not steal it.
What's your name?
Charmaine Roget. What's yours?
Sam Spade. Why were you so happy that the crown was stolen?
Because it does not belong in the ugly home of a childish woman who thinks only of her social position and her money.
Oh?
We take only what is ours, not money.
Where does it belong?
In France, where it was made and where it was appreciated.
I see. How much is it worth?
In money? 150 to 200 million francs. It is more than one can say.
You say the crown means more to a Frenchman than money.
How would you like it if your Abraham Lincoln desk was being used by some businessman to serve cocktails over?
I get the point.
I tell you again, I do not know what happened to the Josephine crown tonight. Do you believe me?
I did, but only because when she left the party, she wore only her costume, and that costume wouldn't have hidden, well, she couldn't have had it on her. I went up a block up the street, picked up a cab, and sat in it until she came out 5 minutes later. She was now in street clothes and carrying an overnight case. She drove to Castle Street, and I followed. She went into a restaurant called La Parisienne. I waited a discreet moment and then went in. She was nowhere to be seen, but a tall, lean, black-haired individual approached me with a menu in his hand.
Good evening, monsieur. I regret to say that we have just closed.
I'm not interested in eating. Where's the girl that just came in?
Girl? No girl came in here.
Don't dummy on us. She walked right in here 30 seconds ago. Brown hair, red coat, Charmaine Roget by name.
You have made some mistake. As you can see, there is no one here.
I have made no mistake. Now come on, come clean.
Monsieur, please let me go. No girl came in here. But it was... There is no place to hide but the kitchen.
All right, then show me the kitchen.
Monsieur Renat!
Monsieur!
Spade.
Well, it didn't take you long to get here, Mr. Montague.
Don't
move, Mr. Spade. I have a knife at your neck.
Yes, I feel it.
Shall I take care of him, Mr. Montague?
No, Renaud. Put down your knife.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Spade and I will sit at the table and talk quietly. You can go.
As you say, monsieur. But I will keep out an eye.
Let's keep an eye out.
Sit down. Please. Spade, while you're here, I have a personal matter to take up with you.
About the Josephine crown?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry to report that as of yet, I haven't found it.
Good. I'll be happy if you never find it.
Oh. Does Mrs. Montague know you feel this way?
No. I'm real happy she didn't know.
Uh-huh. In other words, you want me to stop looking for it.
That's the idea. Oh, you make a pretense of trying to find it, but no more.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
I'll pay you a good fee if you do this for me.
Why don't you want it found, Mr. Montague?
Well, I'll talk to you man to man.
Please do.
A French girl showed up in town.
Charmaine Roget?
Well, you've seen her.
Oh, quite a bit of her at the party.
Yeah, well, she's young and beautiful and... To get right to the point, I was indiscreet.
I see.
She turned out to be more designing than I realized.
Blackmail?
Of a sort. She didn't want to get money. She wanted the Josephine crown.
And, you let them steal it?
No, I told them that I could get them into the party, furnish them with a car, and then the rest was up to them.
Why didn't you just give them the crown?
Well, I couldn't. My wife values it too much. It's her prized possession. She even wears it around the house when there's just the two of us there.
Oh, my, that's good.
Now, will you just forget about this?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Montague. I'm hired out to your wife, who asked me to guard it. I did a bad job, and now it's up to me to get it back.
No, please, Babe. I can't afford a scandal with that girl.
Well, you'll have to work that out for yourself.
Very well. I'm sorry.
I must admit, Mrs. Montague, I underestimated your husband. For at that point, he produced a gun out of thin air and very professionally relieved me of mine. He called the proprietor, Reynaud, who appeared with Charmaine Roget. They held an immediate kangaroo court. Sentence was just about to be pronounced when the front door burst open and in swept a tall character in black beret and a cape and sporting a handlebar mustache.
Aha!
Prominently pinned on his cape were a brace of French war medals, including the Croix de Guerre and so on. His entrance held everybody bug-eyed, including me.
Keep
your mouth shut, Spade!
Le jour de gloire. Oh, what joyous, charming gathering have we here. Oh, the glow of warm friendship fills the room like a cozy fireplace in Alsace-Lorraine. Oh, it cannot be. Is it not my true mon ami, Monsieur Montague?
I
kiss you on both cheeks in happiness. Mwah, mwah.
Hey, who are you? I don't seem to remember you.
Oh, why? You are so soon forgetting me. We met at the Folies Bergère. Oh, those days. Do you not recall the nights in Montmartre and the days on Mont Blanc? Oh, goodness. Oh, that is Monsieur.
When he bent over to kiss Montague again, his mustache fell off. As usual, Crockett had overplayed. And before he could straighten up, Bonero hit him on the back of the head and he fell flat on his face out cold. That was my cue to go into action. I turned over the table, wrestled with Horace and Bonero while Charmaine was striking at me with the heel of her shoe. I got to the gun first and everything came to a sudden lull. At that point, Fritz Crockett came to.
Oh, mes amis, where did the sudden darkness come from?
Yeah, well, you could drop the accent, Crockett.
Ow.
Wish I had a picture of you there on the floor for your scrapbook.
Ow. It was all in the act, Sam, all in the act.
Well, do you think you're well enough to hold this gun while I make a search?
Oh, leave it to me, Sam. Everything will be under control. Now stand back, everybody. I'm in charge. The U.S. government is not entirely without influence in Washington.
I found the Josephine crown hidden in the basement, and we called the police. I was afraid that the incident struck a blow at Franco-American relations when a certain Charmaine Roget and Bonero produced two tickets, not for Paris or Points French, but for Rio de Janeiro. And you know the rest, Mrs. Montague. Your husband went home, and you forgave him. He made a superb gesture towards international harmony by returning the Josephine crown to the French Historical Society. And when you asked who might be the man to guard the crown safely back to La Belle France, I was overjoyed to be in a position to recommend to you Fritz Crockett. I hope he marries Suzette or whatever and stays over there. Period. End of report.
Oh, Sam, isn't that Fritz Crockett an exciting man?
Don't let's talk any more about him. Let him get his own program. The first person in this office to mention his name again is a rotten egg. Now go type that up.
Oh.
Do you snore so loud you keep yourself up at night? Do you wake up with a sore throat from ripping Z's at the top of your lungs? Does your snoring rattle the dishes off your neighbor's walls? Do you also suffer from the trials and tribulations of male pattern baldness? Well, don't mess around with creams, pillows, shampoos, suppositories, or those stupid-looking pieces of nose tape. Now there's Snore Be Gone with Minoxidil. Just put this chemically treated latex skull cap and stretch the two comfortable hard leather hooks around to open up your nostrils and solve two of mankind's, and we don't mean womankind, cruelest jokes at the same time. Snore Be Gone. It really works. Tonight's program is also brought to you by Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Restaurant at 6th and Ellensburg in the heart of downtown Gold Beach. Fan food, not fast food. And Empress Beauty Salon on Colvin Street in the aorta of downtown Gold Beach. Debbie and Joan say walk-ins are always welcome. And Dwayne Rath Excavating. Dwayne will come to you, so don't worry about where he's located. Dwayne says, we dig your business.
Here it is, Sam, all typed up.
Thanks, Effie.
Sam Spade Detective Agency. Oh, it's for you, Sam.
Hello?
It's me, Sam, Fritz.
Oh, no.
I'm at the airport. I just wanted to tell you I'll be out of town for a while. Won't be in the office, so just take the whole thing over.
Well, that's very generous of you.
And you can use Effie if you need her for anything.
Oh, well, I'll never be able to repay you.
Ah, that's all right. You did a pretty good job on the caper today.
Thanks.
I was just talking to Mrs. Montague, and I said to her...
Sam, you're not even listening.
I've had enough of him for one day. Come here, and you'll have to be satisfied with my one arm.
That's good enough for me. Oh, good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, Fritz.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced by Cheryl Seaton and directed by Michael Hall. Sam Spade is played by Chip Weinart. Amy Pike is Effie. Also heard in tonight's cast, Bob Miller as Fritz Crockett, Laurie Meredith as Mrs. Montague, Carrie Crook as Charmaine Roget, Rob Brown as Horace Montague, Tracy Ellenbecker as Renaud Bonero, Anne Tlacker as the girl at the party and sound effects. And this is B.K. Wood thanking you for joining us.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Currie Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.